Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, we'd like to welcome you in here to the Clay County Corner as we come to you each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock on WVFB FM 101.5, Kicks Country. And, of course, this is through the auspices of the Three Star Committee and the Clay County Chamber of Commerce, plus all the folks that sponsor the show that make all this possible. So we'd like to remind you to get out and spend your money with the folks that spend money to put us on the air here if you like us. And if you'd like to be a sponsor on this show, give them a call, and they'll put you on it and let you get you a little bit of sponsorship on here. And we come to you, as we said, each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock with a rebroadcast this evening at 6. And also the shows are streamed on the Del Holla Horizon newspaper site. I believe that's delhollahorizon.com. And they've got those streamed there. You can go and listen to those anytime you want to. And let's see, also today we've got one of those delicious frozen cakes, smoked to Dairy Queen, to give away. We'll be doing that here toward the end of the show. And got an interesting show lined up today. Half of my guests have showed up. We had tried to get some of the folks maybe from up the Corps of Engineers to talk about the flooding a little bit, but they're all kind of busy right now. But they're working up something as soon as they get some time and some stuff together to talk about the flood damage that had been caused up on the lake itself, with the campgrounds and things like that, and some of the boat docks. I think, you know, they've had problems where they've got a little water up higher than they usually do. So some of those things, and let's see, well, our basketball seasons have finished this year. Both our teams lost in the sub-state round this year, so none of us advanced on to the state tournament. So basketball season is, excuse me, is over, and we have got some news a little bit later. We'll be announcing about some changes up at Cedar Hill Resort. We're not going to talk about that today yet, but there's been some changes up there, I think, so we're going to have some news on that, and just lots of good things going on here in and around Clay County. And, of course, we're all still kind of reeling from the loss of our hospital, but we're survivors. We'll get through this, and, you know, hopefully there may be something come up out of that. We don't know for sure yet. I know we've had some drab news about all negotiations are closed and that type of thing, but I think maybe there may be still some talk going on. There may be something worked out here before all this is over with. So with that, let's take a little short break, come back, and Merla, we might start off and talk a little bit about some things that happened today in history for a few minutes before we get into talking about the Daughters of American, the Confederacy. We've got maybe talk about a little bit about the sesquicentennial. Might talk a little bit about the history of some cemeteries here in the county. Maybe some of the things you have been working on lately over at the museum. We've got quite a few things we can discuss here in the next little bit. But right now, let's take a little short break. We'll work in a message or two from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the ring cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we've made it back. We're here on Live and in Living Color, Murray Lloyd, on your radio dial, 101.5. And, you know, it's a pleasure being here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And this would be a good time to take a second, maybe call your neighbors and tell them we're on 101.5 and tune us in there. I've got a couple, three things here that happened on this day in history.
What are they, Tom?
Well, number one, this is a biggie here today. I guarantee you Alexander Graham Bell would be spinning like a top if he knows where his tremendous device had advanced to over the years. This is the day that he received his patent.
For the
telephone here in the United States. So it has advanced just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I kind of think they're not necessarily as much of a machine to contact people as they are maybe a spouse tracker.
You reckon?
Sure.
Our kid checker.
Yeah, a kid checker. They're just all kinds of things those things
right.
are good for. And on this day, too, in history, skipping up a year or two, Roald Amundsen, he announced the discovery of the South Pole. And I know a few weeks ago we had a little thing on here about the guy that had trekked across the South Pole by himself.
Right.
So people are still trying to really conquer that place, and it's not really a place I'd hear anything about conquering anyway.
I just say I like it closer to the equator.
And I thought this might be kind of interesting for some of the ladies who used to work down at Oshkosh a few years ago. In 1854, Charles Miller patented the first U.S. buttonhole machine.
Buttonhole.
So that was one of the operators down there when you had to make
The
Oshkosh. You had to have someone that sewed the buttonhole.
With the buttonhole.
And the shirts and the breeches.
And the breeches. Right.
And let's see what else we got here. The game of Monopoly was invented on this day.
Real important one.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least that taught some people how to count money.
Yes. And we have spent many, many hours.
Playing.
I mean, this is one of those games that sometimes it could take
days. You're right.
And along the line of a different line of this, in 1942, the first cadets graduated from the flying school at Tuskegee.
Oh, that 42 was a real good year.
Is that the year you were born?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
So that's a real good year.
Of course, the famous Tuskegee Airmen. Yeah,
Airmen,
the first
right.
one, the first group of those were graduated and went into the Army Air Forces. We didn't have a regular Air Force in there. And this is right now has become a national holiday. This one, in 1982, the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee televised the selection event for the first time.
Ah.
So that's a major holiday now.
That's a major holiday. Everybody has to get on television to see where everything's going
to
go.
To check all this stuff out. Well, look like the rain quit a few days, but the weatherman's thinking maybe south of us may get some more rain again.
Well,
hopefully it may miss us this time.
Well, it could. They don't know. It may go 3 inches one way and 4 the other and us get some more, but it's not supposed to be near as much. They're saying maybe 3 inches is the most anybody would get in this Tennessee or something.
I've got a little thing here that came from the Corps of Engineers, a little news release, and there's a couple of figures I wanted to kind of throw out on this. And, you know, they're kind of hard to really grasp what they say in this. I know this last February is designated as the wettest February we've ever had, and the flood control on the 10 dams operated by the Corps of Engineers in the Cumberland River Basin, they estimated saving $172 billion in what could have been flood damage by the amount of rain we had. You know,
I think they learned something from the 2010 when it did flood everything like Nashville.
When Cheatham lit a bunch through.
Well, they did. They
didn't coordinate real well.
They closed Cheatham in some of them and opened, Old Hickory and Stones River, and that's what got Nashville. And they couldn't get Cheatham open quick enough to to take care of that, you know.
Okay, and this thing says that, you know, at Nashville, that the Cumberland River reached nearly 41 feet with the projects operating, but without the dams, that it would have been 57, a little over 57
right.
feet, which is flood level stage up,
right.
Up Broadway a little way.
Right.
And so, and they're continuing to monitor all this, and and it looked like we were going to make it through here without any major damage. I know we've had some minor flooding here in our area, but
You know where Crenn's house was? It always gets in that
right.
basement, and they had some to get in it. I don't know how much, but I've seen it when it was clear up to the floor a bit.
That used to be kind of a partial holiday in the big ranch when out the high school, some of the boys have to come down and help bail the basement
right,
out.
Just about, right. They were doing real good when it first got done because they sandbagged the door. They forgot there was a drain inside, and it came up through the drain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that bad, I don't guess. I hadn't seen them lately.
But, you know, it's hard to imagine, Burlett. I know you can remember. You were, I know, a couple of years older than me, but I think I was about 4 or 5 years
yeah.
old. And, you know, those things that get stored in your memory banks, we can both remember the water being up to the back of what is now Jimmy White's office
well,
and the back of the bakery down
I
here.
I can remember it being up to, well, Kirkpatrick, in the back of Kirkpatrick's
right.
store at one time. And they had boats pulled up against the road there because, of course, some of the houses that are on, right on the river bank are higher than what they used to call the slough that came through.
Right.
And that would cut everything off, but then it would get on up. But when it got up in these buildings, it was like Miss Mary Elizabeth Cherry's house. It would be maybe up in the first floor of it. And everything you could see from there at the river was just water.
You know, and I think I have a memory there of seeing a metal ring up on the second floor where when they moved up to the second floor, they could tie their boat
right.
up to the house.
Right,
there.
I think that's right. Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's that there was on Facebook this recently, I've run across the picture of the Salina Church of Christ with engulfed in water, and it showed the Fitzgerald house across the street from it. And if anybody has the original picture of that, the museum would like you to bring it by and let me scan it in, because that is a very important one, because where that is, and we might be able to get some more information of exactly where Montville College was. We know pretty close, but with the church building gone and Oshkosh putting in and Mitchell Street changing and all that, it's hard to know just exactly, and we're just trying to find out because we're trying to we've got a couple of maps that people have drawn of Old Town, and we're trying to get buildings placed where they were, and so, because a lot of people don't know about Old Town. The only thing that's down there now that was a building then is the Ice House, and it belongs to the museum. We've got it. The only other house I'm pretty positive about is where Donald Sherrill's lived, and it was owned by M.C. Sidwell, who was my great-granddaddy. And that's my understanding. I've got some pictures at the museum with it engulfed and him having to go from wherever the land was in a boat because he got rowed over. He's probably my granddaddy, wrote on the pictures, this is the law. This is his law office, and he's on his way.
Well, you know, and it's hard to imagine. You know, we come into Salina and we look over in the Hayes Field there, and we see a little water there.
Right.
And, barely in your memory, you can remember that water all the way back up to the Proctor Creek Bridge.
Oh, yes, yes,
There on the right-hand side of the road coming into Salina.
Yeah.
And over the road, over going to Beach Bethany. I mean, that's a lot of water.
Right. Well, you know, this time, the way they've done, more water has stayed in the Obie to some extent, because I couldn't remember it being as far up towards Sue Kiesling's house, because it's way up. Well, on the Moody's ramp, you can see the water just right there below the gates and stuff, you know. It's gone down some now, but when it was first started letting out and stuff.
Okay, and you know, it's neat, too. You know, we don't get to see water come through the spillway too often.
No, not too often.
A bunch of folks have filmed it and got it on Facebook, different places.
Yeah, you did a good job filming some of that.
Yeah,
you did, because I saw, you could see Faye walking up and the spillway's behind her. which with a person in there, it gives
yeah,
it a little...
It gives you a perspective.
More perspective than you can if you're just seeing that roll down, you know.
Well, we have covered this pretty good for a few minutes. Why don't we take a little short break and come back and get to more of some of the things. I know you've been busy the last little bit doing some chores for your daughter's Confederacy.
United Daughters of the Confederacy, right.
We'll talk about that some of that in a minute. We'll be back just in a minute. Right now, let's work in just a few words from the folks that make all this possible.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. Like I said, we've got Ms. Mary Lloyd Renault here with us this morning, and she is one of our historians on the lake here, and of course she is the operator. How's that for a good word?
The president of the museum.
The museum. And I know that in the past few months, I know you've been working on a project for one of your really priorities, and that is the Daughters of the American Confederacy. You want to tell us a little bit of what you've had to work on that a little bit?
Well, I was state recording secretary for the 1618 office time that we hold, 2 years. And once that time is over, because I'm the recording secretary for the state, I have to do a minute book of everything that's happened in those 2 years as our historical document to minutes and everything that's gone on. So I've got that done. I've got to go pick it up today and be giving it out to the membership here in the next few weeks and everything. So I'm glad to get that over with. But I've sat at a computer so long that some of my fingers don't work good.
Well, but, you know, some of the highlights of some of the things, Mary Lloyd, I mean, I know that's throwing it right off the top of your head.
Well, one of the things, of course, we have a chapter here in Clay County, the William Wesley Elam chapter, and one of our main projects is the different cemeteries where Confederate soldiers are buried. And each year during April and May, we've got approximately 144 Confederate soldiers now that are buried in this county that we know of, that I've got documents and records to prove that. And we go and put a new flag on their gravestone each year. So there's 60 cemeteries, Thomas, and it goes from the west end to the east end to the south, all the way down to the Tinsley's bottom, and then all the way to the Kentucky line, you know. So it takes me several days to get all that put out.
Okay, and do you have a publication on that yet, Reggie?
No. I got a publication. It's right up here yet. I got a lot of stuff written down. I've got the information, but I've just never had time to compile it where we could maybe make a pamphlet and everything where people could see it. To come to the museum, I can show them because I've got all of it out there. But, you know, it's and every now and then somebody will say, well, do you know so-and-so was? And I said, no, tell me something about them and where they are. Well, from when I first started doing this in 2011, the last few years, maybe I've picked up one or two soldiers that there was no way I had any way of knowing unless somebody, because by going through the cemetery books and looking at men that were of us born of a certain age to a certain age where they could have served, you know, and everything, and then you got to look all the paperwork up on them.
Let me ask you this. I know that this will probably be a tough thing to do. I know, you know, we have oral history in families the grand, great, 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 whatever, uncle, and all that type that served that never came home.
Well, you're right, because we don't know. Of course, all these we've got that are buried here came home.
Right.
And we don't know who else from this county went. We know a lot did. Of course, it wasn't Clay County then, because that's 61 to 65, and we weren't in the county until 1870. But still, there is a book called Tennesseans in the Civil War that the University of Tennessee did back in the 60s. And it has most of the soldiers from Tennessee, Confederate and Union, that served. But the thing about it is they don't have it divided by counties. They just have it in alphabetical order. So when you get to looking for somebody, well, my uncle was Joe Smith. You know, there might be 40 Joe Smiths in there. So you have to, it gives their rank and regiment and something else. I can't remember what exactly. But you have to go find their age and everything. And when there's so many, on a computer going back through and finding the different ones to make sure you got the right ones. And you can make a mistake, because sometimes you get what we looked for when we did that was people that, where they signed up. There was Camp Myers over in Livingston and Camp Zollicoffer. If they signed up in those two places or in Jackson County, we knew they were from this area, you know, and everything. But a lot of them, when I first got started, signed up in Nashville. And they all would have about the same dates and stuff. And I couldn't figure that out for a long time. And then all at once it dawned on me. They went down the riverboat. They got on the riverboat and went down. And, you know, they that was the closest place they could get to, you know, at the time.
You know, that, I know a couple of weeks ago I was doing a little research on newspapers.com and ran across, I think you may have saw, I posted that off an advertisement for one of the river boats that was getting ready to depart to come up the river to Salina.
Right. Well,
this is in 18...
Whatever.
Early.
Yeah, it was. Well, you know, the main thing, I never saw a river boat come up because I'm not old enough.
No.
But my dad, they told the story that when he was a little boy in grade school, everywhere the grade school was then, the day the riverboat came up, it always tooted its horn when it came around the corner, around the bend down here, and everybody ran down to the wharf to see what was going on. Well, his mom and daddy had ordered him a buggy and a Shetland pony. And so my granddaddy went out there, as my grandmother called him, Mr. Jim, went out there and got him. They went down to get it. He got on it, drove it up to the house up there. Well, the funniest thing was, now he's just in grade school. Well, when I was in grade school, we still had that darn pony. And it kicked me out of the... Cran and Jimmy would send me down to get the pony. Cran could always catch it. And he said, I'll just grab it like this and do this. I went down there and grabbed it one time, and it kicked me in day after tomorrow. I didn't do that anymore. You know how they do, little sisters. Yeah. Well, but everything came up by riverboat, you know.
Right.
And there's, I believe in our history book, Miss Billy Thurman, there's a thing in there that she wrote. I've got to go back and find it. Where she went down the river as a kid on the riverboat and how it was. Talked about the captain had bananas up in the captain's part. She had never seen a stalk of bananas and stuff. So there's, you know, there's a lot of information on it. It's very interesting. If you get started in it, it's hard to get out of it.
Well, you know, there is so much information here that still exists in our county that I know folks that belong to, they've hoarded it for generations.
Right.
Some of it you barely can touch without causing damage to it. But, you know, with the age of the technology we have today, You don't even have to touch things anymore to make copies of them.
No, right. You know, that's why we, if anybody's got any old pictures, particularly of houses, and if it's people, we need to know who they are, that if they will bring them to the museum in a minute, I can scan them in and hand you a picture right back, because we don't want your picture. We just want to have them, so if we need to use them in an exhibit, or want to do some history looking up, and I know I got one of the school. Let me think what school. Somebody sent me one of a school that I'd never seen before, and I can't even remember what school it was. And every now and then, going through, if you grew up in Salina on the Facebook,
right.
I'll find some pictures that I just got a copy. We don't get good copies of them, but you can improve upon that stuff if it's digitized to help it some.
Right, you can enhance it a little bit where it is clear. And, you know, they're just so much information that sometimes, like I said, this newspapers.com is a great site to do historical research on, because it has newspaper articles from all over the country, and it's got, you know, when you go and start searching, you can pick out a certain date that you want to look for, and look for anything that might have been said in a newspaper anywhere in the United States on that day about an event that may have happened here or in this area, and it's always a different perspective when you see something that's written from somewhere else about something that happened here than it is folks that were here when it happened.
Well, talking about the technology, let me tell you something that happened to me this past week. I got a telephone call at home, and this lady says, "Are you Mary Lloyd Renault?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And they says, "Well, we're trying to find this person. I can't remember his name. Harold David Lloyd. Lloyd was their last name." And she says, "Do you know anything about the Lloyd family?" And I said, "Well, no." And I says, "How'd you get my name and telephone number?" Well, I just punched in Alabama anybody that was named Lloyd, and yours popped up. And because yours was Mary Lloyd Renault, we thought maybe you were part of the Lloyd family. And I said, "Well, I live in Tennessee." And they said, "Well, you've got a..." But I said, "I've got an Alabama number." And it was somebody that had just done that because I had lived down there. And, you know, it pops up, all these names and stuff. And I finally got in touch with some of my buddies down in Alabama, and I think we found that family for them. So, you know, and she was from Michigan. So you never know who's going to contact you about something, even though I wasn't any kin. I knew something because I'd been down there, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's do. I'm going to read off the birthdays and anniversaries, and then we'll come back and do some more things here. I know there's a couple of things that I want to discuss with you. Looking through here, I think now there's a couple of phone calls I got this time that weren't real way to track them down. And one of them, I think the first one here is happy birthday on the 4th to Douglas Ridge, I believe was the name. And Tammy called that in. His birthday was on the 4th. And then I had one that called in and would like to wish her mom a happy birthday. And that was all that she had, no name, just her mom, on the 7th or 50th birthday. But I could make out what I think was the daughter's name that called in. Maybe her name was Patia or something along that line. And then the granddaughter, they wanted to wish mom a happy birthday on the happy 50th birthday on the 7th day of this month. Mm-hmm. And then have Miss Haley Strong, who is celebrating her 9th birthday this past week, and Nana and Papa called that one in, so we got that one in without any trouble. And then Delmas Jenkins, we had a couple of calls to wish him a happy birthday, one from his stepdaughter and one from his niece Tammy, who said that she shared the same birthday with him, so we wish her happy birthday too. And also we had, I think, maybe another call that called in, but we'd like to wish Mr. Delmas Jenkins a happy birthday. I think he is over at Sauna Rehab, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And hope he has a very, very happy birthday and a great day. And then Tammy Scott, I believe, celebrating the 6th birthday on the 7th. And this was called in by Crystal Grace and a cousin, I think. I'd like to remind everyone again, you know, speak a little bit slower, a little bit louder. And if it's an unusual name of some kind, it wouldn't hurt to spell it out. and make sure we get these things right. But we got Tammy Scott in there, and also Miss Linda Strong, celebrating a birthday on March the 6th. And they gave her age, but we're not going to do that today.
Ah, come on.
You really won't?
No, you better not.
Okay.
No.
But now, Jerry called that in, and then also her grandchildren called in to wish her a happy birthday. So, Miss Linda, happy birthday to you. And I'm sure you're probably listening today. I know you're one of our regular listeners. And then Alexis Thompson, who is the daughter of Ricky Thompson and Darlene Hale, and the grandmothers all want to wish her a happy birthday. And then on the 7th, Jane Olson celebrating a birthday. Didn't get an age on that one, but we'd like to wish all these folks a happy birthday. And toward the end of the show, we'll draw out a lucky number from these that'll win one of the birthday cakes, which you can redeem now by going over to the chamber office and picking up one of the Dairy Queen gift cards to go in. And we used to give them a certificate, but now we're getting them a gift card and they go over and get their cake. And let's see, another local announcement we've got. There is a change on the commodity delivery. On Thursday, March the 14th, it's still over at the same place, but the time has been changed to 11 instead of 9. And I think that has something to do with folks getting over before the gates been unlocked here in the last little bit. I know they have gotten in the habit now of locking the gates until 8 o'clock in the morning, I believe. So that none of the rules or anything has changed. Still, you've got to have your card and all those things. But it is a two-hour later date. I think that's the word I received. And if that's not right, they'll correct me, I'm sure. And with that, let's take a little short break, and we'll come back, and we'll wander off on something else here for a few minutes.
Well, you've got a lot.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria and food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. We have jumped right back in this time without a whole lot of warning.
Yeah.
Mary Lloyd.
I don't have to have much warning.
Something I've thought about quite a bit, and I don't know if we've ever done any research on it, and that is the families in this area that have disappeared, that no longer have any relatives or anything, that were, maybe prominent families at one time.
You know, that's the problem we have with so many cemeteries, that no families, the people that are buried there have no living families here to kind of help take care of some of the cemeteries, and that's where they have been gone. I know somebody called me this week, where is the Brown Cemetery? They said, call me, and I called them back. And I said, well, it's over behind Bill Moulton's house, and that's where it is. And that's the family, that's the Brown family, the W.L. Brown family, that was so prominent in this case. And there's really none of that family that lives here. Faye Brown Thurman, who was Miss Billy, who taught school's son, he comes up quite a bit. He's interested in a lot of the stuff and stopped at the museum and talked to him and brought me a lot of pictures and stuff. But there's just so many cemeteries that there's no families here to even contact to help, keep them cleaned up or keep them from being destroyed. Because what happens sometimes is the property sells. Nobody knows there's a cemetery there, and maybe it's just small rocks and the weeds grow up. They come through with a bush hog. Well, next thing you know, there's no stones. And there's not much you can do about it unless you just know. And then you have people that can, you know about witching graves?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I got people that can witch graves. And they come help me every now and then if I know generally where somebody is or something about them. Because I know several of these Confederate boys that I hid, their stones were broken. You couldn't read them, but we could figure out whose it was. And I could apply to the VA and get new stones. I probably put in a half dozen or more in the last few years.
You know, listen, you know, with the big Nashville flood, with the National Cemetery down there, they found an entire section that were things floated up.
City Cemetery down there, because that's a real old cemetery because, you know, that's the one that's right downtown.
You know, a couple of years ago, I went to a historical society meeting down there, and they had the ladies from that managed that.
Yeah.
And over there, they were talking about how, you know, it was, you know, it had damaging, but it was also a blessing.
Right.
In that way, where it showed where some plots that they really had no knowledge of.
Well, you know, I'd never been down there. And several years ago, I attend the Tennessee Association of Museums conference every year. And they always take us to, if it's in Nashville, to historical things and everything. And that was one of the ones they took us to. And I was amazed at who all was buried there and what was there and everything. Because, you know, not living in Nashville or being down, I'm down there a lot, but not by the cemeteries, you know, and everything.
You know, I think one of the most ironic monuments in the state of Tennessee is located down at the National Park. Can't think of the name of it now.
Where?
The cemetery down at, the Battlefield Park, down toward Corinth, Mississippi.
Shiloh.
Shiloh. It slipped my big mind.
Well, last year when I went to the Tennessee Association Museum, we stayed at Pickwick, and they took us to Shiloh. Then the next day, they took us down to Corinth, where they have a new interpretive center down there and a cemetery down there that I had no idea what all it was. And it's just a continuation. This Corinth part, this interpretive center, is just an extension of the Shiloh battle.
Right.
And I was just amazed.
Well, you know, one of the things that I noticed, you noticed it, not, there's a little small Baptist church right in the middle of that.
Oh, yeah, I've been in it.
There's a great big tall monument right in the middle of it.
Yeah, uh-huh, I've been down there.
For Governor Ray Blanton.
Yes, sir. So you're on the right side, right over there. Yep.
And then, you know, Governor Ray got the last laugh, I guess, out of it.
I guess he did, uh-huh. But I've been to Shiloh, I don't know, half a dozen or maybe more times, and every time I go, I see something that I've never seen before. And the United Daughters of the Confederacy has a big monument that they sponsored several years back. We had a big dedication a couple of years ago. But there's a lot of these cemeteries. If anybody wants to go to something real impressive, go down to Franklin to the cemetery at the Carton Plantation. We had some dedications down there in the last few years, and they've improved on that a lot. But it's nearly mind-boggling. You know.
Well, along that line, I don't know. I guess it's the Daughters of the American Confederacy unit down there. It's got a lawsuit up now about who owns the city of Franklin.
I can't speak to that. I'd make no comments on that because it's in litigation, and I'm not.
And you're a lawyer.
And I know my mouth shut, but there's a lot up here, and a lot of people don't know in this county. One of the last battles fought in Tennessee was fought in this county. And we call it the Battle of Indian Graves.
Right.
And A.L. Dale, who was one of the Dale boys that the lake was named after, family was named after, I've got an excerpt from his journal, tells about it and everything. So, but I mean, you know, people don't realize how much stuff there is right here in this county that you can go and look for. And I know I had a man come from Texas here back early fall and wanted to go to St. John's Cemetery. He's looking for people, not particularly Confederate people. I took him up there. We spent half a day up there finding, so found everybody he wanted.
Well, you know, along that, talking about Dale Hollow Dam,
yeah.
If you come through Livingston now, you're going to notice on Hillham Road, there is now a little, one of these state parkway, scenic byway things.
Yeah.
That road now is part of the Secret City Byway.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I noticed it the other day.
Is that on the one from Gainsborough to Livingston?
Mm-hmm.
85 or 80, whatever it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. That is, and, of course, that's always been the rumor, you know.
Well, you know, Moses Fish laid that road out. You know, when he came here, and you know Salina's name for his daughter, but he came from up in Dartmouth College, and he was a surveyor and a land
right.
regulator and everything. And he laid that road out from Livingston to Gainsborough as to be going to be the road in this area.
Right.
And it didn't turn out that way.
But, you know, that we've always heard the rumor about the building of Dale Hollowdown had something to do with the building of the Secret City to furnish the power to build the atomic bomb. And through some research, we have actually found some private notes of some meetings that were held where Cordell Hull was insisting
yeah.
that it be built between Allens and Hillham.
Yeah.
And... I think the Paris over in the East Tennessee, they had yes. a stronger argument.
Right, right.
And it wound up being built over there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw that, and we'd always talked about, you know, that being one of the sites.
Right, right.
One of the reasons for building the dam was
lost
flood control plus
right.
power production.
Right, because it didn't come on until about five years later, the power plant and stuff was, and I think 47
yeah.
when it was completed.
Right,
you know.
Actually,
after the dam was already done and everything.
Yeah, and it wasn't a major priority during
right.
the war since
no.
we had the power.
Right, right.
And, you know, that I thought that's kind of neat because we'd always heard that rumor. And you
right.
could ask, you know, someone, that, well, we don't know. We
yeah.
we
yeah.
don't know anything about that.
Well, you know, we've got the 150th anniversary coming up of Clay County. Yeah. So that's going to be in 2020, that's
right.
going to be a big thing. And we got committees and stuff working on it, and anybody that's interested in coming helping, just call the chamber out there. They'll sign you up to help do anything. And I think we've got a knife that you've had
hey,
in
oh,
community.
Along that line, we have six of those left
originally,
from the last shipment.
Yeah.
The last shipment that we got. So
right.
if someone would like to have one of those, you can drop by over at the chamber. I think they've got maybe three of them over there. And I have three of them. If you'd like to have one of those, they're still $75 if you pick them up.
Right. When it hits 2020, they're going to go up.
Yeah, I believe that's the word.
I believe that as long as if you get one in 2019, it's still at $75, I think. But we're not sure. And we got T-shirts and some other things. But it's going to be a whole week celebration or 10 days. All of that's not just set in dirt yet. I would say stone, but we can't chisel stone and stuff and everything. But it's going to be a lot of things going on that a lot of people will enjoy doing and seeing and knowing about.
I'll tell you what, let's take a little short break,
okay.
come back, and we may hit another trail here for a minute.
That's exactly right.
We'll be right back.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. We are now back here. Ms. Mary Lord Monroe is still with me, and we have...
Yeah, I hadn't even run off.
And we hadn't run out of...
I hadn't run down either. Some of them said I don't ever run down.
I hadn't run down any much yet. We were talking earlier about, you know, some of the family names. I can remember Harper's. I think there was Harp. Harp was a name, I think.
Well, I know there was a name Harp. I don't know. I don't know about any of them that live here.
I don't either, but I know that for some reason name is there. The McLaughlin name, that was a prominent name.
Oh, yeah. Down in Arcot.
Arcot
yeah.
area.
Well, now there's a, let me tell you something. There's an heir from that bunch that owns some property over by Willow Grove, I think. And he's a doctor in Nashville. McCoggin.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So,
and everything, but there's a lot of names like that. Even I was trying to think of some of the other names that I've got people that there's no more Sidwells live in this town, you know, and there used to be a whole lot of them. And
the name that hits me there, Kenny Sidwell.
Kenny, he's.
I think maybe they lived in Tompkinsville at that time. Or
No. They were all raised. His daddy was Bub. He was the old Dr. Sidwell that lived here. Bub, one of his sons was named Bub. That's not his real name. And Kenny was his son, but he grew up here and lived here. Then they lived up at Bub lived up at Glasgow. So he died here back.
And Kenny was a basketball player over at Tech back
then.
Well, and basketball coach.
Not only that, he taught over there when I was in college.
Right, yeah. Taught and coached basketball over
there. Yeah, I know. I took a phys ed class in under him. And, of course, I ran up there right quick and introduced myself. And he says, oh, I know who you are. I never did have to go to that class.
You know, like I said, that was one of the prominent names here.
And there's, I'll tell you, Chownings. There was a lot of Chownings that lived in this county. There was Barksdales were really big.
Right.
And the bend from the dam, the first bend that goes out towards Horse Creek and Kyle's Branch, that was called Barksdale Bend.
One of my nieces married a Barksdale from Alabama a few years ago.
You're
kidding. And I've been trying to get them to trace back, see if they may be right.
Well, you know,
from Clay County.
Some of the Renos, my granddaddy's people, one of the brothers went to Alabama, and he got down there, and he had a daughter, and she married an Almond, and his name was Renault Almond, and I talked to him, and everything. He was a Supreme Court Justice in Alabama, and my dad had talked to him. We just found out about him and everything. Once I was down there, I went and found out all about him and talked to him and everything, but they're spread everywhere.
But, you know, those are the type of thing, you know, we're talking oral history here
right,
now,
and
folks had gathered, you know, they used to gather around out at Pine Hill at the grocery store, out Bill Cherry's, and talk to
We don't have those stores anymore. And everything.
We don't have places where people, we still have a few places where they get together and tell some tales.
Well, we're in the process, let me just say this right, well, I've got a chance to do it for right quick. We're in the process of out at the museum. We have some video and stuff that that Jim Hunter did in 1991 and 92 of trips down the Cumberland. And I've just gotten the DVDs, and I've looked at one of them, and I'm going to look at the other. And as soon as we get kind of set up out there, we may say, if you're interested in watching this, come in and sign up, because we can't take but so many people. But most of them were like an hour and a half, and that's too long. So I got to decide where to break them off, where we can do it in segments, so that they can see about the river and what was going on like that.
Well, you know, Merlot, that's something I think we've talked about before, is setting up when we can get a bunch of this stuff together and get it digitized and have some sessions up in the old courtroom.
Right, right.
With a big screen TV or a giant screen projector.
Right.
And, you know, scheduling times for people to come in and look at those.
Well, I found when I got to the museum two videotapes of somewhere around 2000 that they had interviewed all these veterans. Now, they were not the best there was, but... And Melissa, when she was over at the high school principal, she was going to have those put on individual disc for me, each one of the people individual.
Right.
Well, about a year later, I hadn't got them, and she had lost the DVDs, not DVDs, but the VHS tapes, and it got to the end of school, and they did them. Well, they didn't do it that way. So I've got to get that straightened out. Where what I'm wanting to have is little booths where people can come in, put on headphones, little television,
right.
Maybe two of them, and watch them who they want to, and we just pull them out, put them in, let them listen to them, you know.
And, you know, like we said, you know, here in the courthouse, that's one of the things we talked about, too. It's putting together a slideshows and things of people where we can, like I said, have a little showing up there in the courtroom and look at some of the pictures and spark people's memories. And
Did you know this? This is something new. There's going to be a new print of the Webby Lee book.
I heard that.
I talked to him. I was at the Old Monkey Meeting House, talked to Sheila Rush, a month ago, I guess. And at the time, it hadn't been official. She had told me that day that they were going down to get the papers signed to the attorney's office so that they could do that. And it's my understanding they're going to have some additional stuff put in it, some letters and some maybe other pictures and stuff. And so that's going to be a big thing that'll be on sale here in probably not too long.
If we could just find the record of the court proceedings.
I know it.
I've got a feeling those are in someone's possession somewhere.
Hidden
among things that don't know what's that.
Well, yeah, they do, but I don't know that they have enough information that... I was cleaning out a drawer at my mama's house, and I found all these newspapers, near probably all the newspaper things that came out on that. You know, of course, I've got the Life magazine that had the story in it.
We looked up on that one.
Yeah, I've got two of them, but this is 10 times more, and I've got to sort them all out.
Right.
Because it had that and everything else my family had done.
Now, whose picture's on the cover? Was it Don Drysdale?
No, Sandy Koufax.
Sandy Koufax on the cover,
which
made it highly collectible for many years.
Right. Well, we've got two original copies, but then
I
ran it off and put it in a notebook, so if anybody wants to come out there and read it, they can.
And there's also some things on Newsweek, nowhere near as much as they had that.
Right.
And I know, like I said, newspapers.com, again, you go in and you do a search on that, and you'll find newspaper articles when it went out on the AP all over the United States.
Right.
And like I said, a lot of them have different slants.
Well, some of these are papers that were sent to them, you know, and everything. So they're not all just Nashville Tennesseans banner.
Well, they don't have the banner on there. That's one of the drawbacks right now.
Yeah, I know.
Nashville Banner is not on newspapers.com.
Right.
Of course, they were the newspaper that covered the small cities and rural communities.
You always got two sides.
Right.
Because, you know, what one didn't cover, the other did, you know, and everything. So,
But, of course, even back in those, the Tennesseans, they did give us quite a bit of coverage over the years, but the Banner did more.
Well, you just had to have a connection. If you could get your connection, they'd come up here and do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thank Mr. Hal Huggins for that over the years in athletics.
Yeah.
Who did a tremendous job of covering us in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Well, you know, I find a lot of things that Kenneth Overstreet put in. You know, he had a lot of stuff.
Well, I went in and I just typed his name in and did a search on him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pick all the pictures that he made of the catches out of the river.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great picture this past week. It showed up on Facebook with Billy Barlow in it.
Did you?
Yes,
I hadn't seen it yet.
It's on if you grew up in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I shared it there with someone. But all those things keep showing up. And, you know, as we said before, if you've got those pictures...
Come and call me and we'll make arrangements.
Don't bother to take them out of their folders.
No, or anything. Just bring them down because that doesn't matter. I've got a big scanner and we can scan anything 12 by 17.
I'll tell you what, let's take one more little short break. We'll come back. And we'll give away a birthday cake here in a minute. We will be ready. Well, we've got a few more minutes yet.
Well, not many.
You may have a hot topic you want to cover in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I will.
The world in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
You should be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the ring cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat and food is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Yep.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Us. Back to Miss Mary Lloyd is here, and I know she's got one more thing she does have to talk about just a little bit. Hop in there.
30 seconds. Homecoming Days is set for August 1, 2, and 3. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There'll be music every night. Cow Patty Contest, Cakewalk, Duck Race, all kind of events going on the square, so mark that on your calendar so when that time comes, you can come over here and bring your chair and sit back and enjoy everybody.
Okay, and along that line, right now it's not in set, as Merle Lloyd said, set in dirt, but we're hoping to, during the months of this summer, maybe having one night of evening entertainment here at the courthouse to kind of break in our new lighting system and our sound system and stuff, and hopefully we'll have some more news on that. And I know we're working on an evening of bluegrass that would be taking place on, I believe, March the 21st. I believe that's the fourth Thursday night in March. So, be looking for those things and be ready to come out and come to town a little early if you want to, and then come in, sit down at the courthouse and enjoy an evening of entertainment. And with that, I guess, Murray Lloyd, have we got anybody for a birthday cake?
Number three.
Number three is Delmer Jenkins.
Okay, Delmer.
All right.
Go get your certificate.
Come by over at the chamber and get that, and get Delmer over his birthday cake. And we'd remind everyone, the number to call is 243-5574. And as we warned you earlier, speak slowly and clearly. And if it's a unique name, spell it for us so we can get it right and make sure that we can get everyone in the drawing. And hope you enjoy the cake, and hope you've enjoyed the show this morning. And, Mary Lloyd, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Just glad to. Anytime, holler at me. I never know what I'm going to be doing.
Well, sometimes we do wander off, but we stay pretty structured.
Yeah, we taught school, so we know how to get it in line. I'm just teaching.
Well, with that, I guess it's time we shut the doors here again, and I guess I maybe turn the heat down just a little bit. It's felt pretty good, that fireplace had this morning, but looked like maybe by Saturday we were not going to need a whole lot of heat, maybe the umbrellas again, and we hope we don't get a lot of rain. But, folks, we'll see you again next week here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, coming to you from the courthouse. And right now, I guess we'll just shut the barn door and say, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you here next week along about this same time. And listen to us this evening at 6 o'clock and tell your neighbors if you heard something you think they really would enjoy hearing. Good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.